Hello, I'm Father Ray Petrucci. Welcome to Thoughts for the Week. We're delighted to have you, our listeners, joining us, and I'm going to make a little request from all of you. But before we offer our program today with our special guests, with my wonderful co-host, once again, I ask you, our listeners, to consider contacting us and letting us know your ideas and recommendations. Maybe you have a topic you'd like us to handle. We'll do everything we can to fill in your requests. What I'd like to do is to invite you to consider either writing us in the traditional stamp on a letter or to email us. Let me help you with these two options. First, if you wish to write us, do so at Thoughts for the Week, Post Office Box 7466. Again, Post Office Box 7466, Greenwich, Connecticut. Now, in Greenwich, the zip code is 06836. That's 06836. If you prefer emailing us, do so at the following address, clemons10@aol.com. That's C-L-E-M-O-N-S, the number 10, at AOL.com. While you're on the computer, I invite you to go to our internet magazine, Spirituality for Today. You can find that at spirituality.org, at spirituality.org. And while you're there, besides the articles, you'll also find Thoughts for the Week. So if your computer has speakers and you prefer listening at your convenience to our program, please do so. Also, there are other archive programs you might like to listen to, too. Well, now the time has come to begin this show of Thoughts for the Week, so I'd like to invite you, our listeners, first to welcome, you can applause from wherever you are, welcome our co-host, Dorothy Riera. Dorothy, welcome.
Thank you, Father. No applause necessary.
Can't you hear it? Wow, it's wild. Well, I'd like to give a little applause to our guests, though, today. We have two women of the Diocese of Bridgeport who are involved in a very, very special program we're going to learn about today. Well, let me introduce first Fran Hood. Fran, welcome.
Thank you very much, Father.
And Pat Panicia. Pat?
Thank you, Father. We're pleased to be here.
Well, we're delighted to have you. Now, Fran, you are the coordinator of Magnificat.
That's correct.
For the Diocese of Bridgeport.
Correct.
Now, Pat, your involvement is?
I am the treasurer. I'm the money person.
See? So you're the power person.
Well, the one who could be, yes.
The one who holds the purse strings.
That's me. Yep, that's me.
Indeed.
Files all the reports.
Well, Fran, though, we don't want to leave you out now. Let's take a look at this program. I'm not sure if our listeners are all that familiar with the program Magnificat. You're the coordinator of it for the diocese. First, let us know a little bit about Magnificat.
Sure, Father. Magnificat is a private association of the faithful within the Catholic Church under the jurisdiction of the local ordinary, which is, in our case, the Diocese of Bridgeport. The Mother Chapter was started in 1981 at the encouragement of Archbishop Philip Hannon and Auxiliary Bishop Stanley Ott. It was born out of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. Mm. The purpose is by means of which Catholic women have been awakened to the Holy Spirit operating in their lives and who can share with others the good news of salvation and in this way impart the Holy Spirit to one another. So in our breakfast, and that's what we usually have is breakfast, we have a testimony given by a woman, or we usually do have priests come in as well, to talk about how God has worked in their lives and how the Holy Spirit has come into them to transform their lives. And it gives the women that come to the breakfast hope, most especially those that may be going through some trials. And not only does it impart hope, but also the women that come, they feel united with other women. And, of course, women love to talk to one another. So through the breakfast that we have, we also have a music ministry that comes. And we have prayers, and it's just a beautiful breakfast of morning that is shared by the women, and to hear the good news that God has for all of us.
Is this done in a specific parish, or is it done up at the diocese? How does it work?
Okay, what we do is we have two breakfasts twice a year, and we try to have it at two different locations in the diocese. So we usually have it in Danbury, and then we also have it in the Monroe Trumbull area, so we can gather people from Lower Fairfield County.
Mm. And so is this, it's a diocesan program?
It's a diocesan program, and like we have it held at a venue, usually at a restaurant, breakfast. We're going to have it at the Tashua Knolls right here in Trumbull, which we've had it there, and usually at the Amber Room in Danbury.
Now, is this program done throughout all the dioceses throughout the United States, or is this particular to the Diocese of Bridgeport?
It is particular to the Diocese of Bridgeport, although since this Magnificat started in 1981 out of New Orleans, we have the chapters that have developed are over 100 chapters throughout the world, and it's such an inspiring time. Pat and I have been lucky to attend several of their international conferences, New Orleans, and we came back last year at SPI yearly. We went to Washington, and then this year, the end of this year, will be held in
California.
And so it brings all of the women throughout the world to the conference, and what an amazing, the priests that come, it is just an uplifting experience.
Now, Pat, have you attended these also? Or?
Yes, I've been to two. Mm-hmm. I did attend in New Orleans, and I was very happy to go in Washington, D.C. What I always get from it is, you're in a room with 300 or 400 women from across the world, and the masses and the singing. I think about the priests that are there that are doing the masses, how a priest must feel to be in a room with 400 women who are adoring Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And it's so powerful. We go every 2 years, and they have seminars of how to increase our membership, how to reach out to more women, but it also just totally refreshes you and brings you closer to the Holy Spirit and to Mary, who is who we're honoring through Magnificat.
Maybe you could explain, because I know you mentioned that there is a formative link to the charismatic renewal. Now, you know, we really haven't done much on care. That's why I was really interested in doing this show. Years ago, when I was ordained in 73, it was really a very, very popular movement going on at the time. But what I'd like to know is, now, are both of you were involved heavily or involved in charismatic renewal, or did you kind of come to Magnificat?
No. I came only through Mary because I love the Blessed Mother, and that is our patroness, is the Blessed Mother and the Magnificat. You know, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. And so I have evolved to know that the Holy Spirit is so important in this day and age, especially. The charismatic renewal, I guess how it had started is our patroness, Marilyn Quirk. She was a convert to the Catholic Church. And as a matter of fact, I wanted to put a little aside, she just recently received St. John Paul II's tribute award for her works. And so she ended up, she was in a different program, and when she was a non-Catholic, and she came into the Catholic Church and was converted. And she wanted to do something similar to this other program that she was familiar with. And so she started this. And it started out of a kitchen, right in a kitchen with a few women, somebody talking about how God had worked in their lives, and it developed into all of this. And so the Holy Spirit is such an important piece of this because of how the Blessed Mother was open to the Holy Spirit working in her life.
You know, when I think of the title Magnificat, it is of course the great prayer that Mary uttered. But it was one where you had one woman visiting another woman, so you had
that sense of
women getting together. Pat, you know, I'm interested because I know you both are familiar with this international event that you attended. Mm-hmm. Could you explain a little bit about what the what's happening in the lives, especially of women, through the Holy Spirit that was expressed at these groups? Was there some common thread running through it, or was all unique? Because you said they're from all over the world.
I think it's unique, but I think what binds us all together is the love of Mary, and mm-hmm. Mary acting as our intercessor with her son Jesus. And I think that's my, what I desire is to be closer to Jesus. And I know by going through Mary, Jesus' mother, that she leads us right to him and right to his heart through her loving heart. And I had been away from the church, it's terrible to say, for over 20 years. And I had come back and started going to daily mass. And then I don't even recall how I saw it, but I saw an advertisement for this Magnificat breakfast for women to join together as women and praying to the Holy Spirit and just getting closer to God. And I think I went to one or two breakfasts, and the next thing I knew, I was volunteering to be the treasurer. And I said, talk about jumping in with both feet. You know, she was stuck, and I thought, well, you know, I think I have a little extra time. I could do it. And I hardly knew anybody. And I said, I hope you don't mind. I haven't really been involved. You know, do you think I'd be okay? And it has just changed my life. I have become a Eucharistic minister and a lector at my parish, and I don't know, I grew up Catholic, went to Mass every Sunday, went to Notre Dame High School, and somehow got away. And coming back, I just so appreciate the Word of God, and I see all the blessings He has been for me and what He's done, all the mercy I've received, and I just appreciate it, and I attribute that all to Magnificat for really opening me to the Holy Spirit, getting closer to Mary and Jesus.
And you know, you mentioned something a little while ago. I find that the generation of today, the young women of today, tend more to like to be heard instead of being talked to. I think they like to get together with their young children as a generation. And it's very different because before we loved to have the retreat, the priest or the person talking to you, and the women of today want to be heard. They want to share their experience and be listened to. Do you agree with that?
I do agree with that, and I think Magnificat is it's wonderful for this day and age because I don't know if you've heard of the phrase feminine genius, but St. Pope John Paul had mentioned it in one of his apostolate letters. And, you know, what I had read was that the feminine women have such a role in the world's salvation. And I think when I hear that, I think, wow, that's just awesome to think that women, you know, play such an important role in the salvation of the world, and how every person that goes to heaven has had the inspiration of a mother. And so it just is everything. I would say Magnificat is the complete opposite of the feminine movement of the 60s, and it's totally, and I think the generation of today is starting to see that. I think that they realize that women, we have a role to play, and it's not what maybe the feminists think that it is. It's a little bit different, but it's also so rewarding and so gifted to have those things.
Mm. And I found it interesting, Pat. You almost anticipated the question I was going to ask about how you became involved, but I see that your involvement led to or inspired liturgical involvement, more involvement with serving in the liturgy, in the masses. Now, Fran, how did you get involved?
Well, I ended up getting in love. My girlfriend at the time was had known about this. We were part of St. Joe's Mom's Prayer Group, and we prayed for all of the children of St. Joseph's School in Danbury. Mm-hmm. And so my girlfriend had said, oh, I heard about this group just going to be starting, and it takes a couple years for it to get up and running. And so I started to attend, and because it had to do with Mary, I loved the Blessed Mother, that it was called a hostess coordinator, and that would be when we have these breakfasts, we have hostesses at each table. For when the women come, they're greeted by a hostess at the table, and they may be coming by themselves, so it's just to help them feel comfortable. And these women with the hostess, they could just hear something that the hostess says, and just one word from what the hostess says may not even be the speaker that we have hosted that morning, but can just maybe change them or trigger something. So anyway, I was the hostess coordinator, and then I attended one of these international conferences, and I knew that they needed a coordinator, and I was an assistant coordinator at the time, and I was dead set against doing coordinator. I didn't think I could do it, and I wasn't going to do it. They did get somebody else, but during this international conference, we were praising the Lord and calling upon the Holy Spirit, and I had my eyes closed. And, you know, people talk in tongues at these international conferences, and that's something very charismatic. Mm-hmm. And I was always afraid of that. Mm-hmm. I thought, oh, my gosh, what are they saying? You know, I don't know if I think that's kind of weird. Mm-hmm. So as people were praying and I had my eyes closed, I had this vision of myself on this mountain speaking to people. I didn't know what that meant, but I knew from that point on that I had to go back and agree to become the coordinator. And since then, I agreed, and I've taken over. It's been, gosh, I think 5 years it's been now since I've been the coordinator.
Is this a program that is known throughout the diocese and the parishes? Do you go to the parishes talking about the program?
Well, we do have on our website, on the Bridgeport Diocesan website, if you go under Women's Ministries, we're the only one showing. And so if anybody's interested, there's information that's usually updated as to where our next breakfast is, who our
But you see, that's where I think a lot is lost, because a lot of people forget that the women that are 60, 70, 80 are not computer savvy.
Right.
And that's a whole generation that you're leaving out and is not aware. And usually they are the ladies that go to church, that want to participate. And I just say it with Father sometimes, with Father Ray, you know, I don't know how the elderly priests get into the computer and do all these things that need to be done. Because, you know, the technology has gone so quickly that we kind of tend to forget the ones that have never learned it.
But we do have someone who does publicity, and what we do is about a month, 4 to 6 weeks prior to the breakfast, we do send out to each of the parishes, to the secretary, whoever is the secretary for the parish, and are asked to please put it in their bulletin. Because Magnificat, because we are over the whole diocese, we have women from each of the parishes, and we reach out to those women to please publicize it in their local parish. And like I said, I know St. Stephen's is wonderful about putting it in their weekly bulletin, about at least a month before, so people in each parish can see, and we do tell what who the speaker will be, and hopefully, we do get people that way, and they'll call Fran or I. We put our phone and our email, so like you're saying, because we do have quite a few older women that do not work on the computer.
Right. And we do have a big following with older women, so we are trying to get the younger generation to come. And that's where all of this internet and, you know, the web is very helpful to get them involved. But we do try to advertise it. We just had a women's diocesan day of renewal. I think it was two, three weeks ago we had that, where we had a table set up for Magnificat. Mm-hmm. And when we first had a table, when they first had this conference for women in the diocese, we had to explain to everybody, because they thought Magnificat was the magazine.
I was just going to ask you that. The little liturgical booklet.
Mm-hmm. They would say, we said, are you familiar with Magnificat? Oh, yes, we get the little book. No, this is something different. But Magnificat booklet has been very nice to give us free copies of their booklets for each breakfast that we have. So, that's
how we hand that out to each of the attendees.
Because it has the mass, the daily mass, the prayers. It's just a wonderful tool to have as a Catholic.
Mm-hmm. Right. And we always begin our breakfast with the rosary. So what we do is at each attendance table, there is our the Magnificat copy for the month coming and rosary beads, because we do a decade of the rosary before we start.
Mm. Now, your position, Pat, as treasurer, makes me immediately, how do you raise funds, and what do you need the funds for, actually?
Well, we have a checking account, and we have two savings accounts. When it was formed by Fran Carpier of Trumbull, it is an incorporation. We are incorporated in the state of Connecticut. We are a nonprofit because we're with the diocese. Mm-hmm. We raise money. Our breakfasts are only $25. So what we try to do is keep it under that, the breakfast itself, and we try to do the printing and the stamping all for that $25. We know how times are with people not being able to afford it. So that pretty much carries us from one breakfast to the next. And then during the breakfast, I have the job every time to get up and I do a reading and I talk about something that's going on with me, with the Holy Spirit and what's happened to me since the last breakfast. And then I ask for a love offering. And I ask the women there to pray, and whatever they think is sufficient to help us continue our ministry to reach out to women, to donate whatever they can. And they are so generous every time. And then we have an equipment savings account if we need to buy something. Like, we just started taping our testimonies by the speakers that people can access after the breakfast. And then we have a speaker account.
It's amazing how some speakers are truly very expensive.
Oh, yes. So expensive.
It never occurred to me, but of course it's their livelihood. But, you know, we had wanted to get, you know, really good speakers to bring in the crowds, and EWTN speakers, but oh boy, very expensive. We just had Sue Brinkman, who is from EWTN, and she gave her testimony, and she had a powerful witness against spiritual warfare.
And New Age.
New Age. So it's that was very important. And I think we're stemming out from doing two breakfasts. We also want to do another activity during the year, and so what we've done in the past was Life in the Spirit seminars. We just gave one with Fran Carpier in June, and then in January we're going to be doing a heroically feminine seminar. It's a one-day retreat, and this is geared to young women between 18 and 25. And we're having a couple speakers come in, Megan Murphy and Monica Ortega. And, you know, we're looking to see where the need is out in the culture and trying to zero in and get speakers in for those retreats.
Well, I can't tell you how impressed I am. You really are trying to reach all
people. We are.
The idea of let's say, you know, a woman reads or comes in contact, like you did, you know, with Magnificat. Do they have to have kind of a charismatic bent to them, or can they?
No. They don't. They really, all that they need to do is to become a member, is very simply daily personal prayer, knowing the love of God the Father, commitment to Jesus Christ as Lord, experiencing the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, and openness to gifts. So somebody may come in and not have any of the gifts, but I believe everybody has the gifts. They're not using them to the fullest. Frequent participation in the sacrament of Holy Eucharist and reconciliation, study and daily readings of the Sacred Scripture, love for the loyalty of the Catholic Church, serving the needs of the poor. So it's really nothing that you really need to know. It's the basics.
And I think it varies by chapters. Our chapter is not that charismatic, But when you go to the international conference, there are women who will speak out that they're hearing God talking to them during the testimonies or during the Mass. Our chapter is not that charismatic. We do have many people who have certain gifts, speaking in tongues, whatever it may be, but there are some that do not use the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
And we've been told that that's normal for the Northeast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Down south,
people are a little bit more.
It's
more
different down south, it seems.
Now, a day of renewal, perhaps you could describe what that.
Well, that was the Life in the Spirit seminar.
Okay.
We called it the Day of Renewal.
Okay.
And basically, it goes through a testimony of somebody. It goes through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and it helps them to just feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we did have this. It was a powerful day, and everybody loved it. The women. Yeah. We had women and men that came. And they said, we need more of this in the diocese.
So what you offer are these breakfasts.
Correct.
And you offer these other events, these speaker events, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And so there's a simplicity to everything, too, I presume. Is there a lot of, let's say, person-to-person kind of thing going on, too, where individuals, because women are great at communication, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering if, I was thinking as you spread the news around, that it would be a lot of word of mouth, I would think.
Yes, and we also have prayer cenacles going on in two areas of the diocese, mm-hmm. at two members' homes, one in Danbury and one in Trumbull. And we are also doing our Bible study. It's called Women Called by Name, for such times as this, and it's the Old Testament and the New Testament. So we're just in the throes of doing this. We're on a break right now, and we're going to start back up after January to do the New Testament.
This sounds great. As we get really close to the end of our program, mm-hmm. I'm just wondering, your chapter is called the Triumphant Heart of Mary chapter. Is there anything particularly significant about the Triumphant Heart?
Well, that's the Triumphant was a name that kept on coming back to one of the original members to say that they wanted to do the Immaculate Heart of Mary, but she insisted that the Triumphant Heart was put in there because it gave hope, and for women to come back into the church to give them hope in their lives.
It's amazing when we think of the litany of our Blessed Mother. So many titles, many applications.
Yeah. It's beautiful to see in the conference all of the different names.
What I'd like to do is to give our listeners the opportunity to contact or at least learn more about this. And I realize we're going out in the internet throughout the world, but throughout the certain local area in the country, how could they contact, not necessarily, well, yourself, you could say that, but also how could they learn more about Magnificat?
They can go on to the website. There is a Magnificat website, and that will be the original, original service team is in Louisiana, and they can go on that to learn about Magnificat. They can go on to, if they're in the Bridgeport Diocese, go on to the Bridgeport Diocese website, or they can contact me, and it's my email address is s.s.m.m.michael.hood@sbcglobal.net.
I'm sorry to have to rush everybody, but we're done. And Fran Hood and Pat Panicia, thank you for being our guests today. And to our listeners, please join us again next week.